putting your Bibles to Philippians chapter 4.
Philippians chapter 4. We continue our series of messages on stewarding life, and we started a series on stewarding life, and that is stewarding our thoughts. Stewarding our thoughts. And this will go out two more messages after this. And so today, and the song goes right along with the message this morning as we think about Thanksgiving and being thankful. God is good. God is good. Philippians chapter 4, we'll begin reading in verse 4 in just a moment. In 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7, most of you will know the verse. The Bible says there, Paul tells Timothy, "For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind." And of a sound mind. God has not given us the spirit of fear. And we are in a world today, and we say this or not, it's been, you know, during the COVID pandemic and during all these things, we've faced a lot in the last several years, and then all the unsettledness that's, you know, in the Middle East and the things going on. And by the way, again, pray for Israel, amen? Pray for Israel. Pray for our leadership to continue to back Israel as they should. But remembering that God is not, again, does not give us the spirit of fear. So if you're fearful this morning, that's not God. If you have a fear in your heart, that's not the Lord planting that in your life. It's certainly not the Lord. And so keeping that in mind as we look at the scriptures this morning, Philippians chapter 4 and verse 4 says, "Rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand." Verse 6 this morning, we'll cover verse 6. "Be careful for nothing." Be careful for nothing. I'm going to go ahead and stop there. Careful, full of care. Don't be full of care. And the word really comes down to don't worry. Don't worry. Don't be full of care. "Be careful for nothing," verse 6, "but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of a good report, and if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things." Think on these things. That's where your mind should be, on these things. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you are a good God. And we do pray that we would trust you as we ought. I pray that there's someone here this morning, and I know there's going to be some in the room this morning that are fearful. Lord, that through your message and through your Bible this morning, that their fears would be calmed. Lord, that you would intervene in their life, that you give them grace that they need. We thank you again. We love you. In Jesus' name, amen. We think about it this morning. We live in a stress-filled society. That's nothing new. And 5 to 10% of Americans suffer from symptoms of depression. 25% of Americans will suffer depression in a major way in their lifetime. So in the lifetime of the individuals, at some point, 25% of Americans will experience major depression. As we think about it, antidepressants in America are a $13 billion industry. Think about that for a moment. $13 billion in America are spent annually on antidepressants. As I stand in the pulpit this morning, I do want to make it very clear. Somebody who is clinically depressed absolutely needs to see their doctor. Absolutely, there are things that the doctor can do. Sometimes depression and absolutely can be connected physically to a problem in your life. There can be a physical problem. There could be a chemical imbalance, and you need to see your doctor if you're, again, facing that in your life. And anybody who comes to my office, first thing I say, they say, "I'm depressed." I said, "Have you seen your doctor yet? Have you seen your doctor yet? You need to go see your doctor." And many times they can help. But I will tell you that the majority of cases are not physical. It is related to stress in one's life. It is related to anxiety in one's life. And when stress and anxiety are the norm in your life, it eats away at your mind. It eats away. Again, God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and what? A sound mind. And when someone allows fear to dominate their life, when someone allows anxiety to be, just to, again, overwhelm them, it will eat away at your mind, and then it will affect you physically as well. It will affect you physically. The reality is we all need help coping with stress. We all need help coping with anxieties and fears that are in our life. Fear plus worry equals stress and anxiety. And again, it'll eat away at you if you allow it to continue in your life. The Lord gives in His Word a solution for peace. I'm thankful as a Christian I can have contentment in my life. I can have genuine peace in my life. You as a Christian, if you're born again this morning, you know Jesus Christ is your Savior, you're a child of God, you can experience peace in life. And you ought to have peace in life. We ought to experience that joy unspeakable and full of glory. Joy that's not connected to our circumstances, but that is given to us by grace and through the power of the Lord. The joy that we can experience as we face trials and as we face detours in life, that we can experience the joy of the Lord. The joy of the Lord is my strength. But God gives us a solution for anxiety. And God gives us a solution for, again, stress that is in our life. This is a how-to book.
Amen.
How-to. I really love the how-to of YouTube. If there's something broke at the house, what do? You call the plumber first, or you call whomever? No, I call YouTube first. I'm going to look on YouTube and see if I have the ability to fix it myself. I enjoy my son and I, my youngest son, Micah, and I got into diesels here 7 or 8 years ago and bought a diesel truck, a Duramax, a Chevy. Of course you would, with an Allison transmission. And it's a LBZ. Some of y'all know what that means. But just learning how to mess with that motor and fix that motor, I've watched hundreds of YouTube videos of how to and what to do with that particular truck. I wanted to learn how. It gives me a solution. And I'm thankful I have the Bible that gives me a how-to. How to overcome, again, anxiety in my life. How to overcome and how to cure, maybe even a better way to put it, the stress that is in my life and the fear that results from the stress. Romans chapter 12, our theme verse this year, says, "But ye shall be transformed by the renewing of your what? Mind. Your mind." And so, we can experience a transformation of the mind, a changing of the way we think, the way we think. By the way, the changing the way we think is the best cure for stress. And it is a choice that you make and that I make. Again, stewarding our thoughts is a process of learning to think biblically in stressful times. The number one, and this we've covered this a few weeks ago, so there are four or five things that Paul points out here in Philippians chapter 4. The first one he points out is to, number one, in a cure for stress, a cure for anxiety, remember the goodness of God. We just heard a song about it. So how do I cure that stress in my life? How do I cure the anxiety that I'm facing, preacher? Well, Paul says, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Rejoice, praise Him, for He is good. By the way, this is a command. Notice verse 4, it's a command. Paul says, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. It's a choice that we make. By the way, it says always, always, in the good and the bad. We're to rejoice in the Lord. Are you rejoicing in the Lord? Or do you only rejoice when things are going well? But we should rejoice because He is good.
Amen.
Because He is God. The circumstances in my life are not an accident. They may be the work of evil. And by the way, God's not the author of evil.
Right.
But it's not an accident what's happening in my life.
Amen.
The evil that I've been subjected to has been allowed by God. Every circumstance that I face has been allowed by God. Job, the book of Job, illustrates for that, us very clearly that God, that the devil's not allowed to touch any Christian, any child of God, without God's approval.
Amen.
And God always has our best interests in mind, because He's good. He's righteous. He does right every time. So what do we do when trials persist? What do we do when trials persist and it seems we can't win? We praise God for who He is, that He is good. The second cure is calmness. Again, and moderation. That word moderation there in verse 5 is calmness or poise. Let your poise or your calmness be known unto all men. How can you have calmness? How can you be calm in a state of anxiety? How can you be calm in a stressful situation? Well, you do it, number 3, by prayer. Verse 6, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer. Again, poise and calmness is found through prayer. It's through relying upon the Lord Jesus Christ. It's found by bringing our cares and our burdens and our stresses to Him. Cast all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. You say, well, I've tried that. Well, you must not have tried too hard. Cast those cares upon Him. Come to Him in prayer. If you are going to be overcome that stress and anxiety in your life, you've got to realize and understand that God is good and that God always has your best interest in mind. In other words, whatever is in your life is not an accident. God's allowed it. And pray to Him. Tell Him. Bring that burden to Him. Simply praying indicates your reliance upon God.
Right. Amen.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Just simply praying indicates to God that you're relying upon Him. Going to God and saying, Lord, this is happening in my life, and God, I'm overwhelmed by it. Lord, help me. Lord, help me. Strengthen me. Give me that grace to help in my time of need that you've promised in the book of Revelation. Give me that grace I need. Notice here it gives us 3 words that indicate prayer. It says prayer, number 1, in a generic term, and we think about general action of prayer. By the way, the word prayer just means ask. Prayer means ask. If you are praying and you're not asking, and technically, biblically, you're not really praying. Praying is always going to be connected to asking. We've always used that, you know, that acrostic, that acronym, you know, pray. Pray, number 1. Praise Him for who He is and His goodness. Number 2, R, repent of your sins. You want God to hear your prayer, repent of your sins. And then number 3, ask. P-R-A, ask. Ask for others and then yourself. It's not wrong to ask for yourself things that are in your life, but ask for others first. Amen?
Amen.
Pray for others and then pray for yourself and then yield. Y, P-R-A-Y, yield. To God's, you know, His will. Whatever God decides is best for me. He's going to always have my best interest in mind. But praying to Him, here it says supplication. Prayer and supplication. Look again at the verse 6. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. By prayer and supplication. Supplication means to persist or urgency of prayer. It's seeking, it's asking, it's entreating the Lord requests. A request. Lord, I'm in this situation. You say, well, He already knows I'm in that situation. Well, He wants you to tell Him. I do like the verse, though, that, and we won't turn over there. And this morning is not an in-depth theological sermon on prayer. But I am thankful that we do come to the point when we don't know what to pray. The Bible says the Holy Spirit will pray for us.
Amen.
The words we cannot utter. I'm telling you, when you break down and you don't know exactly what to say, the Holy Spirit steps in.
Amen.
Isn't that an amazing promise? But most of the time, we can come to Him and pray with supplication. That means being persistent. It means coming to Him in that attitude of urgency, requesting petitions that we offer. In other words, we need Him. We need Him. Too many times when we get into problems, too many times when we face storms. Too many times when we face detours in life, we rely upon self instead upon Him. And we, when we come to Him in prayer, when we indicate our problem to Him in prayer, it tells Him that we need Him. And we do need Him. Notice here again in verse 6, it says, don't worry. It says, be careful for nothing. Don't be full of care. All of us tend to worry. It's natural. It's natural for us to worry. Worry is an indication that you're human. We're all human beings, right? Remember the little song in Sunday school, why worry when you can pray? Trust Jesus, He'll be your stay. Don't be a doubting Thomas. Rest fully on His promise. Why worry, 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 worry when you can pray? Why worry when you can pray? But we all worry. Don't look at me sanctimoniously. You guys are a bunch of hypocrites. Absolutely. All of us. There's not one human being in this room or watching online that hasn't at some point worried in your life and had that anxiety and that feeling in your heart, a trepidation, heart skips, and all those things that happen in your life. We all face that. Here Paul's saying, don't be full of care, but have hearts of faith. By the way, worry hurts your faith because it does show a lack of dependence upon God. It says, don't worry about nothing. For nothing, it says. Not anything. Not the small things. Not the big thing. Even the smallest amount, smallest little thing, we shouldn't worry about those things. Many times worry is an indication of pride. It really is. Think about it. There's really two things when it comes to that. Number one, it's an indication of pride because you think you can control everything. Well, you think, I got this. This is under control, and we try to figure it out, and we put all our on paper, and we try to figure it out. And so many times we worry, and it's an indication that we're prideful because we just believe we got it. By the way, can I just tell you, there's many things that are out of your control. You go to the doctor and you get a bad report, many times that's out of your control. Why does she get cancer and he doesn't? Why does he get cancer and she doesn't? You say, well, there might be some figures in that, but I'm telling you, it's out of your control. Yeah. It's out of my control. I simply must understand that it is out of my control. And it's pride that causes that. And then number two, it's pride because, again, it's just a lack of trusting God. It's a lack of faith. It's a lack of faith. Life is bigger than us. And sometimes God allows overwhelming needs so that He can show us that we need Him. Sometimes He puts us in a situation like He did Peter. Brother Wiggins preached Wednesday night. They're walking on the water. Jesus said, come on out, Peter. And Peter stepped out of that boat, started walking on the water, and got his eyes off Jesus and began to sink. I'm telling you, sometimes God, Jesus Christ, or the Lord will put us in a position where we must depend upon Him. What do we do with worry? What do we do with it? Well, number one, we must understand and we must remember that great men and women of God struggled with this as well. Now, I want to give you one illustration in the Old Testament, but King David. The Bible says David was a man after God's own heart. Do you believe David was a man of faith? Do you believe King David was a man of faith? I think any man who as a teenager can defeat a great giant, I think that's a man of faith. When a teenager can defeat a 10-foot giant with a sling, a stone in a sling, that's great faith. And yet we know that David worried. In fact, the Bible indicates he wrote a psalm. Psalm 56, verse 3 says, David said this. He said, what time I am afraid, I will trust in thee. Amen. What time I am afraid, I will trust. I'll put my faith in thee. And what time we're afraid and what time we experience that anxiety and worry, we're to put our trust in the Lord. Trust Him. What do you do with worry? Remember that it is a common experience that every human being is subject to. And it comes down to how you react to it. How do you react to it? To fear is not a sin. It's kind of like many other things that come into our life that we are subjected to. To be tempted is not a sin. Right? It's when you drive around the block the second time. I won't go into the illustration again. My dad denies that he ever illustrated that for me that way, but I'm telling you, as a kid, he said to me, it's not wrong to look the first time. It's when you drive around the block the second time, it becomes a sin. It's about women. Y'all didn't get that one? Dads in the room? Dads in the room, men in the room? It's not wrong to be tempted. See, he's still denying it. My dad's in the room, by the way, for our visitors who are here. And it's not wrong, again, it's not a sin to fear. It's just not trusting God in fearful times. That's a sin. Hello? It's when we don't trust Him during those fearful times that it becomes sin in our life. That it becomes wrong. I don't know what you may be facing this morning, but we can trust Him. We can depend upon Him. Bring your concerns to Him. Confess your concerns. Confess your grief to Him. Come to Him. Acknowledge the situation to Him, and that it's beyond your control and beyond your abilities. And Lord, I need help, just like Peter did when he began to sink there in the Sea of Galilee. Lord, help me. And the Lord reached down and picked him up. I'm thankful that Paul said there in the book of Acts that the Lord's not very far from any of us. I'm thankful that the Bible, that God's promised to never leave us nor forsake us. He's right there with us. And then lastly, look at what it says. It says, prayer, be careful for nothing, verse 6, but in everything by prayer and supplication, well, notice what it says here, with thanksgiving. Let your requests be made known unto God. With thanksgiving. Gratitude strengthens our faith. Think on who Christ is. Think on who the Lord is. Think about how good He is. Think about how good He's been to you. Think. We're not thankful people because we don't think enough about, again, how good we have it. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 8, Jesus Christ said, He is the same today, yesterday, and forever. God never changes. He's always good. And we ought to be thankful and grateful for what God has done. We ought to be thankful and grateful for the sustaining grace that God gives us through stressful times. 1 Thessalonians 5, 18, Paul says, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Amen. And that's pretty plain and simple. Everything that comes into your life, God has allowed. And we are to trust Him with it. We're to bring that concern to Him. We're to be thankful. We're to be thankful. We live in a day and age in which there are a lot of unthankful people. In fact, one of the signs of the end times, Peter tells us, is that people will be unthankful. By the way, it puts that in a series of a list that talks about adulterers and fornicators. I mean, it puts it in a list of pretty bad stuff, and yet he says, in the last days, people will be unthankful. I want to encourage parents, we have to teach our kids to be thankful. All of us understand that have been parents that a kid doesn't just naturally say thank you after you do something for them. You have to teach them. You have to train them to say thank you. Parents, you ought to be teaching your children to say thank you. They get something as they get into those toddler years, and you hand them something, you give them something. Now you say, okay, say thank you. All right, Johnny. Johnny P., they're on vacation, or they're gone to Thanksgiving. They're gone to Thanksgiving. I'll pick on Johnny. Little Johnny, you need to say thank you. No. You know, no. By the way, they love to say no. No. All right, Johnny. No. No. So, well, I guess I'll have to take it back. And you take it back. Now, here you go. Say thank you. No. And then there's other consequences when that doesn't happen. And you train them to say thank you. What are the other consequences? I believe biblically that's the board of education, the seat of understanding. And you teach and train that child that they're to say thank you. Until they say thank you, they ain't getting nothing. Train a child in the way they should go. When they're old, they will not depart from it. You train that little 1, 2, 3, 4, 5-year-old. The most impressionable time of a child is between, again, that 0 to 6 years old. After 6, it's going to be more difficult to teach them and train them. Thank you. Say thank you. Thank you, Daddy. Thank you, Mama. Thank you. We ought to be thankful people. But just like the little kid, many times we're not thankful either. We take for granted what God's done for us and how good He's been to us. And many times when we go through stressful situations and go through anxiety and worry, we just need to sit down and count our blessings and name them one by one, and it'll reveal to you what God has done. God's so good. God is so good. God is so good. Thanksgiving. How are we to do that? A thankful people will be a thankful people. Thinking. I'm so thankful for my family. I'm so thankful that I was raised in a home where my dad and mom did train me to be thankful. Where my dad and mom did train me to right and wrong, what was right and what was wrong. I'm thankful I grew up in a Christian home. I'm thankful for my wife and for my children. I'm thankful for them. God's been so good to me. I'm thankful for my family. I'm thankful for our church family. I'm thankful for you. I'm thankful for the children's church workers this morning who are keeping all the heathens up there in that little room. I'm thankful for the nursery workers this morning who's keeping all those little kids in that nursery and dealing with those little kids, those little babies. I'm thankful for our church family. I'm thankful for our deacons. I'm thankful for our Sunday school teachers. I'm thankful for our greeters and ushers and on and on and on, our choir. I'm thankful for the children's choir and Brother Cook and those who deal with that. And man, just such a wonderful church, such a blessed church. And every once in a while, we just sit down and say, this is awesome. I'm so thankful for my family. I'm so thankful for my church family. And no matter America's problems, I'm thankful for our country. Amen. And I know we brought this up a lot here of late, but we live in the greatest country on earth. Amen. What a great and wonderful nation we live in. Every day, we ought to be thankful. Thanksgiving's coming on Thursday, but we ought to be thankful every day. And the old devil, he loves it. By the way, the devil is responsible for that evil that comes into your life. God's allowed it, absolutely. But can I remind you, the devil loves not just to bring things into your life that cause us stress, but he loves to just magnify it. So many times, the things you're worrying about, not even will be a problem tomorrow. It's going to go away tomorrow. But today, you are just stressed out about it. And that's the devil. He wants to magnify that problem in your life. He wants you to think and rethink and to continue to think and just eat away at your mind that problem or that stressful situation in your life. It's your choice. To change your thoughts. It's your choice to come to the Lord and pray. It's your choice to come to God and thank Him for how good He's been in your life, even though you may be going through a difficult situation. By the way, it's good to remind the Lord, thank you for this you've done in my life, and thank you for that you've done in my life. And Lord, I know that you're dealing with me, and you've allowed this in my life. Lord, I thank you. Try that. See what that does for you. It'll help bring peace into your life. We need to steward our life. I'm thankful for my family. I'm thankful for the family that my mom and dad who raised me. I'm thankful for my church family. Can I tell you, most importantly this morning, I'm thankful for my Savior.
Amen.
I'm thankful for the Lord Jesus Christ who came 2,000 years ago. He left the portals of glory. He who was rich became poor in order that I might have salvation. He came to this earth and lived a sinless life for 33 and a half years, never one time having a sinful thought, never one time performing a sinful deed. He was selfless in desire and deed, and yet he died. He died the death, again, of a murderer. He died the death of a thief. He died the death of a wicked man. But he had no sins of his own. He died in my place.
Amen.
He died for my sins. He died for my wickedness. He paid the penalty for me, for my sins. He took the sins upon himself. By the way, he took the sins of the whole world upon himself.
Amen.
He died for all mankind. He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. He loves all the world. Amen?
Yes, amen.
He loves you. He died for your sins. He paid the price for your sins. The wages of sin, the Bible says, is death. The penalty of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. We can have eternal life. We can have salvation through the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ on Calvary. But it didn't end there. He didn't just die. He didn't just shed his blood on Calvary. But on the third day, they put him in a tomb, and on the third day, he rose again from the dead, having paid for our sins in full. I'm thankful for our Savior. I'm thankful that the God of the universe, who made all things, was willing to die for his creation. The Creator died for his creation. What love, what matchless grace, what love Christ Jesus took our place. He died for me on Calvary. What wonderful love. I'm thankful for my Savior. I hope you know you're saved this morning. I hope you know Jesus Christ is your Savior. If you don't, we'd love to show you from the Bible how you can have eternal life, how your sins can be forgiven, how you can have a home in heaven. Are you thankful this morning? Stewarding our thoughts is a choice. You choose. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. You choose. And don't allow the devil to occupy your thoughts with fear and occupy your thoughts with anxiety. But bring those cares to the Lord. Bring those supplications. Bring it with supplication. That means with persistence. Bring it to the Lord. Remember how good he really is. And take your cares and worries to him and leave them there. Why worry when you can pray? Trust. Put your faith in Jesus. He'll be your stay. You want that peace that passes all understanding? Bring that burden to Jesus. God is so good. We need to remember him and be a thankful people. It'll go a long way in curing the anxiety in your life, and curing the worry in your life. Let's all stand. We're going to sing page hymn 163, Only Trust Him, a very appropriate hymn this morning, Only Trust Him, after we pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you that the Bible has given us the how-to of curing the worry that we have in our life, curing the fear that is in our life. Lord, help us to remember how good you are and that you are to be trusted. Lord, help us to be a thankful people. Help us to bring our petitions to you in total dependence upon you, understanding that many things in our life is out of our control, but Lord, we know that you do control it. Lord, help us put our faith in you. I pray that there's someone here this morning who's never trusted you as Savior. They've never put their faith and have their faith and trust in you. They would do so today. Love you and we thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.